Welcome to Super Talk, the podcast that scratches your superhero itch. Just two suburban dads nerding out over superhero stuff on the small screen and the big. Buckle up, people. Enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Super Talk, the weekly podcast dedicated to news and reviews of comic book media on the big and small screen. This is episode number 9. I'm your host, Brian Professor Pettis, and with me, as always, my illustrious co-host, Titanium Tony Estrella. Titanium, you're bulletproof. Nothing to lose. Fire away.
Bulletproof. I don't know about that, Professor, but I tell you what, after a couple of drinks, sometimes I feel bulletproof. But hey, nice outfit.
Yeah.
Look at these.
Sporting the swag a little bit.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. So
sweet.
Little birthday present from my better
Captain
half.
Captain Marvel.
Yeah, for my better half. She got us some nice Super Talk swag. Sporting that this week.
Hey, Professor, we got a lot to go over. I don't mean to cut you off there, but we got a lot to go over here. So please take us to school.
Yeah, let's. Well, first, like we do all week, all episodes, let's start with thanking our sponsors. First, Studio GG Studios. We always link their YouTube page in our show notes. Please go visit them, support them. Home of the Man Band, Corn on the Cob. They got a lot of new single coming out here.
New single
real
shortly. They're just it's in production right now. It's called Animal Names. It's gonna be great. Little gift from Studio for you YouTubers that are watching back here. That's from Studio G. It's a nice little sign for the podcast people. It's a cool sign. Some letters wrapped in old comic pages. It just says Super Talk, so it's kind of cool. Thank you.
They keep supporting us and keep contributing, so that we thank them. And again, our other sponsor, our continuing sponsor here, we have our friends over at Preston's Pharmacy.
Yeah, small business people. Support small business. They're doing a great job over there. And I guess they're shooting people up with the vaccine, right?
Yeah, they're excited, and they're continuing to support those local communities, like you said, small business that needs your support. So please reach out to them. Support them, fill your prescriptions there, get your drugs, your medications, get everything there that you need from them. They'll be able to support you and help you out.
Awesome.
Okay, and also this show is always brought to you, the audience, by the patrons. That's you. Those of you who have signed up to support us on patreon.com/supertalk. If you want to support the show, $1 an episode, that's all you need to contribute, and you will become a patron. We'll get a thank you note and a Super Talk sticker out to you in the mail for your support. We really appreciate anybody signing up on Patreon. It really does help out the show, and everything that gets contributed to us will be given back to our audience. We are continuing to wait for that special 100 subscribers on YouTube.
That's
and
right.
When that happens, we're going to be doing a giveaway on YouTube through our YouTube subscriber list.
So. Yeah, absolutely. We have the swag wagon all ready to roll. And anybody that, come on, people, it's less than a latte at Starbucks, $1 an episode. That would be great. And once again, it just goes right back to you guys.
Right. All right. So let's get into the news and reviews section this week. So we, as always, are going to start off with a quick synopsis and review of WandaVision episode 8.
Yeah, previously on, right? That was the title. Not my favorite episode right off the bat, but you know, any kind of flashback episode, you're not going to get what you're looking for, but answers. And I was very thankful to get some answers and to a little bit of backstory on Agatha, right? You know, how Westview kind of came about and the story leading up to the creation of the Hex and how Wanda and did that.
I think we learned a lot this episode. We got some of those questions that we've been wondering about answered. Some of the theories that we had about specific characters were answered. Hopefully, things don't change there. But to your point, I, sticking with the classic sitcom, you know, classic television model of we've watched a million shows like in similar fashion to this that have had a flashback episode. You know, you go through half a season, all of a sudden you're wondering what's happening with everybody and why they are in the position they're in. And then all of a sudden a flashback episode comes up and goes back in history and shows why these people are where they are and how they got to be here.
They even explained why the sitcoms are relevant in WandaVision. She grew up watching them with her family to learn English. She continued to watch them throughout her life. Very cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. But you know, some of the TV shows that we were referencing last week, like Lost, they would intermix flashbacks in the show. And actually, that was one of the most confusing things about Lost is there were parts of the show that were in the past and parts of the show that were in the present and parts of the show that had not yet happened.
Right.
But we didn't know that as the audience. This one we knew was a flashback episode because they painted it that way, right?
Yeah.
So you and I just finished watching it again, and we're a little disappointed, you know, and I have to admit, I was a little disappointed when I found out it was a flashback episode. I'm like, okay, well, we're going to get some questions answered, and we're going to learn a little bit more. We're going to get some deeper kind of character development with a few of the characters at least. But we're not going to get any of the plot moving forward. All those unanswered questions and what's going to happen, nothing really happened this week, right?
Right. We learned a lot about the backstory. We learned about Agatha and how she was part of a witch's covenant. And I guess she started
in the 1600s in Salem, Massachusetts. Right.
Yeah. And her covenant kind of called her out on using dark magic. Even her, I think that was her biological mother. She called her mother, but I think it really was her biological mother. And they tried to end her, you know? And thought it was weird how her neck was glowing. I pointed that out to you while it was happening, while we were watching it. And I was like, why is her neck glowing orangish red? Maybe that was the energy that they were trying to, you know, disintegrate her.
Reminded me a lot of, if you remember in Captain Marvel, when she was in had the thing connected to her, and they kept like shocking, like you would see
erasing her memories. And
yes, you would see that energy bubbling up in her at some point, but it reminded me of that a little bit. But that was very strange. And again, I have a theory that whole scene kind of, you know, what we saw was the witch's coven decided that she had accessed and taken on and used magic that was beyond her station and beyond her age.
Yeah.
And said, hey, you've been practicing, you know, the dark arts, and you're not supposed to be doing that. And you're accessing magic that's way beyond you. And so you're going to be punished for it. And it seemed like she was being executed, right? Like they were going to kill her.
Right.
And they're pointing these beams of energy at her, and she seems to be in pain. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't look like she actually did something. But then all of a sudden, those beams of energy that were being directed at her were turned back on the people that were shooting them, and she was siphoning the life force out of them.
Yeah.
And when I saw that scene and saw that she really didn't, like, make something happen to do that, it just all of a sudden happened.
Yeah, her powers, like, took over, right? She even said, I was bending to my powers.
Or something took over. Yeah. She said, I didn't break your rules. I just bent them to my favor, right?
Right.
And it made me wonder, is she even doing that?
Maybe.
So the question is, what she accessed, or the powers she got, or the dark magic she was practicing, is it possible that she allowed some being to possess her, which would imbue her with these abilities and power in exchange for a host body that could now travel our dimension?
Okay. I like that.
So
because Marvel is right now, Marvel is painting a picture that it's all Agatha. Like the
well, she's the big bad, right?
By the way, is like number one on iTunes downloads. It's ridiculous. It's all Agatha.
You see, they came out with merch. It's Agatha crazy. All the time merchandise was on the Disney Plus shop. You know, good, it was like, are you kidding me? It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a catchy tune. I mean, you get it in your head. I don't know. It's downloaded a billion times, but that's a great, that's interesting. We'll see if that plays out. But Marvel right now, to me, is painting a picture like she's the big bad and she's the only one. Now, we've talked about it, and everybody's has a theory about Nightmare, Mephisto,
Ralph.
Who's the husband, right. Ralph. We don't have those answers yet, but right now, Marvel's doing a pretty good job of trying to paint her as the big bad.
Yeah, and they're doing they did that this episode clearly. She showed in that scene her power, and then we get a scene continuing on from the previous episode where Wanda's now in the basement wondering what the heck's going on. And Wanda learns that Agatha is a witch.
Yeah.
And she is a well-practiced witch and well-versed witch. She knows a lot about magic. And yeah. Wanda is trying, and she wants to find out how Wanda's doing what she's doing. Why does she have all this power? She shouldn't be able to. Agatha's been around for over 400 years, and she's had to study magic her entire life to get where she is, and she can't do the things that Wanda's doing.
Yeah, so we didn't get any answers about the book. Is it the Darkhold? Is it another book? Is mm-hmm. it something else? We didn't get any answers on that. But you're right. She's a savvy, seasoned veteran of the dark arts, and she's confused and wants to find out. And she even said, I've been very patient trying to find...
To learn your secrets.
Yeah, for you to come out of this fantasy world. And so she takes her on a little trip. But I thought that was telling. And what a great scene. I mean, that was kind of cool that she set up those things in the basement that she...
The runes.
The runes that she controls, yeah. The only magic, because she set them up.
The protection spell. Yeah. Right. She knew she had to do that.
Wanda was helpless in that.
And Wanda had no idea. I mean, yeah. Agatha said that. She said, you don't know the fundamentals? You don't know that these runes are preventing you? You know, that if I cast them, you can't cast spells? You don't know this? So she's frustrated. You can tell, visibly frustrated. I should be the most powerful witch.
Right.
You're doing all these things that I can't even imagine doing. How are you doing that? And Wanda, to her credit, she has no idea how she's doing them either.
She has tremendous power and doesn't know how to use the fundamentals of it. Yeah.
She's casting spells, and Agatha did a very good job of explaining all the things that Wanda had done in the town, how they related to actual magical spells. You are doing mind control. You are doing transmutation. You are doing things that I might be able to do on one person, right? So she admitted she had mind controlled Pietro, or the fake Pietro, Fietro.
Yeah, Fietro. The
but
fake
she admitted
Pietro.
She did that, and it was her, you know, speaking and listening through him. But she
so
said, I could do that.
Do you think he's fake?
Oh, I totally do now.
You think he's somebody from the town or something that she randomly turned into her little eyes and ears to spy on her.
Right. And she said, hey, I your brother, like, necromancy wasn't an option, so she couldn't raise her brother's body from the dead because it was in, you know, another continent.
Right.
And it was riddled with bullet holes. And she's like, that wouldn't work. So that wasn't an option. So her other option was to take control of another townsperson and have that person fake being her brother.
Okay.
Right. And so I believe now it was just kind of a bit of fan service to you and me and everybody else that, it just happens
bring
to
in
be
Evan Peters.
Yeah. But I don't think
he's from the multiverse, or she brought him through cross-dimensional.
Now that could all change next episode.
I know,
but
I know.
But at least now she explained it, that he was fake, admittedly fake, and she was doing it to learn more from her, trying to get inside of her head and figure out how she's doing all this.
Yeah. That answers the question of him asking all those questions in the Halloween episode.
He's like, oh, I'm impressed, right? Yeah. And so she was
impressed. Are you doing all this?
Yeah. And if you remember back in the episode when Sparky died, and the kids walked up to her.
I didn't mean to laugh. That was kind of evil, but...
But the kids walk up to her, and Agatha's holding the dog that she admittedly said she killed.
Later, yeah.
Right? She's holding that dog and said... the kids were saying, bring him back to life, bring him back to life. And Agatha looks at her and said, you can do that?
You can do that.
So she doesn't even understand the extent of Wanda's powers.
Right.
So she's trying to learn, how are you able to do all this? I've been practicing magic for over 400 years, and I can't even begin to think about doing this. How are you doing this? And Wanda is doing it without, she's not even thinking about it. She's not incanting spells. She's not speaking Latin and something's happening. She's just naturally doing it.
Like
it's a gift.
Like she said, magic on autopilot.
Magic on autopilot,
yeah,
right?
Cool.
She's like, how are you doing this?
Yeah, I mean, on the outskirts, your illusions and theatrics on the outskirts of the town.
She's like, you're creating illusions on the edge of town. You know, not just, you know, and she's just completely
magic on
amazed.
Autopilot, yeah.
Right. And so the episode itself, for those of you who watched, I think we can summarize it pretty quickly. She goes back in time and forces Wanda to go back in time through her own mind and relive some of her memories to kind of figure out how she got these powers. And it was four basic scenes, right? First one being Sokovia when she was a kid,
yeah,
with her brother. We meet her parents. We find out why she has a love of sitcoms.
Parents, not the ones in the commercial throughout WandaVision that everybody theorized, debunked. Okay, right. move on.
Just regular parents and her brother and sister sitting in the house. Her father sold DVDs of sitcoms. That's how he made money for the family.
Yeah.
But there was always ones that he couldn't sell, and they would watch them at home. And her favorite was Dick Van Dyke, and that was the first episode was based on Dick Van Dyke. But they start watching this. Bomb hits the house. So it recounts the scene that her and Quicksilver had talked about in Age of Ultron. That, oh, we were stuck in our house. Our parents got killed. We were stuck in the house after it got bombed because a Stark bomb hadn't gone off, and we're sitting there staring at it for two days.
Interesting.
Yeah, and Agatha says, did you put a probability hex on that bomb and keep it from exploding? So did you hex the bomb and make it not explode? And she's like, no, it was just a dud. We didn't know that at the time. It was just a dud. She's like, oh, no, I think you were a baby witch. You just didn't know it.
Yeah.
Right? And she asked her the question, well, how did you get supercharged? Like, what happened? I want Baby Witch on steroids.
She realized that she did do something to that bomb not to make it go off. And then she had more unwillingly, without using Latin or some spell. And then she wanted to know how you got supercharged to be able to do all this. Yeah.
Right. And then we go to the next scene, which was the Hydra base where she had volunteered to be experimented on by Baron Von Strucker using the scepter, which we know to now contain the Mind Stone. We see the scene with her and the Mind Stone when everybody that had been exposed to it before died. And all of a sudden she walks in there, and there's a scene where the Mind Stone comes off of the scepter and comes right up to her face and exposes itself as the Mind Stone. And then we see a vision in the Mind Stone of her in full comic book costume, kind of a silhouette of that, and then she passes out.
I thought I saw a silhouette of someone in there with her. Like underneath, a figure standing there with legs. It might have just been her reflection there, but her arms were up in the air, and she was kind of like in amazement. She was being like blown back. But I thought I saw somebody in there. I'm stretching. I'm probably digging into
watch it back. But that really was Agatha. Then said, okay, so you got up close and personal with an Infinity Stone.
She knew what an Infinity Stone was.
Right, so she was aware of what Infinity Stones are.
How is she aware of what an Infinity Stones are?
Well, the same way that, you know, Doctor Strange and the entire Order knows about the Infinity Stones. Right?
Did she read it in one of the magic books?
Possibly, but, you know.
We know the Ancient One had taught all them what the Infinity Stone was, and they're in possession of one. So, but how did she know what one was?
It's probably education amongst the magic community. That's what I would think, that anybody that practices magic knows what Infinity Stones are.
Okay.
I mean, that again, everybody in the Order knew about it, right? Wong was did his little thing about here's the boom, you know,
right.
the Infinity Stones.
But they were taught by the Ancient One, and they are in possession of one. So I thought that was interesting. Like, how does she know that? Which might be
here's
a throwback.
The question. Does Dormammu know about the Infinity Stones? Sure. Probably.
Yeah, of course.
Right? And so he's, lives in the Dark Dimension. So, I mean, he still knows about them. Right?
Yeah. But he's also a celestial being out there in space, and she's a witch on Earth. So I'm thinking that could be, maybe she found out from being in another dimension or something. I don't know.
Somebody might have educated her to it. Yeah, she's been around 400 years. You know, who knows where she could have picked it up, right?
Yeah.
So, but she finds out that the up close and personal experience she had with the Mind Stone kind of unlocked her abilities, right? Latent ability. And so she said, so magic that you had in you would have died on the vine had it not been for this event. Her getting in touch with the infinite, that kind of unlocked her. She said, you weren't practicing, you weren't, you know, paying it, you didn't even know you were a magician or a witch, and now the Infinity Stone unlocks this, and all of a sudden you have access to these abilities that you never even knew you had to begin with.
Yeah.
Which we've always talked about means potentially these are latent abilities she's always had, and maybe she is officially a mutant.
Yes. Right? And how did Pietro get his abilities?
Could be the same way, right?
Right.
Exactly. Well, the two of them were the only two that survived the experiments.
Right.
Right. So maybe because they were mutants.
Unlocked his abilities through there as well.
They survived because of who they were. Yeah. Right? Maybe that mutant gene saved them. who knows? We'll hopefully they'll answer that next episode. Next episode is going to be like 4 hours long, we're saying, because there's so many questions that got to be answered.
One can only hope. I think we're going to get an hour episode next episode to answer and to have a final battle scene. And, you know, if Paul Bellamy, if Paul Bettany, if he screwed us and said there's going to be a big cameo and there's not, and he just did it to throw everybody off, and that not only would be brilliant, but it would, I'd be angry. And if the big cameo is Patrick Stewart, Professor X or something like that, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be a little disappointed, but it's still very cool.
It would still be cool. It would be very cool. It wouldn't be what it's been made out to be.
No.
I mean, that's not,
no,
you know, the level that we're expecting.
I think we're going to see Doctor Strange for sure. I think we're going to get a big battle.
And that may be it. That may be the cameo, which was our first guess on our, I think, our second episode of the show. You know, we think it's Doctor Strange. He's got to be in the show. So, I mean, and again, the rumor mill is going crazy on the internet right now about all of this. So we'll talk about this a little bit later, but just be careful out there, please, people.
Yeah, you can't always believe. I mean, geez, some of it is just nuts.
Look, there's so many fan theories out there. Some people are announcing leaks that, you know, some of them are predictions, some of them are based on fan theories, and some of our, you know, and some of them might end up being right, but right. That doesn't mean it's a leak, right? Yeah. So
that's why you stay with us. Just listen to
right.
us.
We'll recap, know,
subscribe
it.
And download the podcast, subscribe and like and click the bell, and we'll let you in on what's happening.
Well, let's finish this off real quick. Two other quick scenes. The other next scene was her and Vision in the Avengers compound, really kind of showed their relationship developing. Wanda felt very alone. She was in a foreign country. She was scared. Her brother had just died. Yeah. She was just felt terrible.
Vision obviously smitten with her.
Yeah. And he was connected to her. Yeah. And you could just see their relationship blossoming back then. And that leads you to where things ended up going when we saw them in Infinity War, when they had become very close.
Do you think he might have been more connected to her because of her contact with the Mind Stone?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you remember in Infinity Wars, when the Mind Stone was going a little crazy in his head, and he asked Wanda, you know, can you feel anything? And she was like, you know, using her magic on the Mind Stone. She's like, I just feel you.
I just feel you.
And so there may be a connection for that. And this kind of harkens back a little bit to the comic books.
All right, people. Here's where you pull out your notebook, take some notes. The professor's going to drop some knowledge.
So there's a time-traveling villain called Immortus. And
not Kang.
They're kind of almost the same person. And I don't want to... It's too confusing.
Okay.
But Immortus promoted the creation of Vision by Ultron. He kind of helped it along,
okay,
because he wanted to position a love interest for Wanda that would not result in children. So his theory was, if I get her to fall in love with a synthezoid, they can't have kids, because right. I'm a time traveling villain. If she has children, it's not going to go well because she's too powerful.
Right.
Her children could ultimately end up becoming more powerful than she is.
Ooh.
So what Immortus did was he positioned Vision as a love interest for Wanda so that she would never have children. And it kind of sort of played out that way, but didn't. You know, we know what happens with Wiccan and Speed eventually in the comic books, and we're seeing some of that here in the show. But that was the theory, is that, you know, you're too powerful. If you have kids, you know, this is not going to go well for the universe, right?
Yeah, and are those kids real in the Hex? I mean, are they slivers of Mephisto and Wanda?
Right?
Yeah, it's so interesting.
I know. Those are the questions we want answers to. We just didn't get any of them this week.
No, we did. But you know what? We did get a lot. We did get some. You know, we got Agatha, her backstory, which was really cool, and her true being, and her coming to the forefront as an evil person. But
well, and the next scene was one of those ones that really did enlighten us. We found that Wanda, we see the scene of her going to the shield, the sword facility, knowing they had Vision's body.
This was after the touching statement by Vision in the Avengers compound,
right,
about love and anguish. And
we know they were in Infinity War and very close, and she was devastated when he died and all those other things. Yeah. And so she's now been snapped awake again. We saw her in Endgame. And then she comes to the S.W.O.R.D. facility, just, you know, he's dead. She just wants to give him a proper burial and ultimately put him to rest.
And we were told that she broke in.
Director Hayward said to everybody in that briefing room.
Is he acting director or is he director?
Right,
because he said director. But to Monica Rambeau, he said acting director.
But he said in that scene when he was briefing everybody at the complex in the episode 3 or 4, I think it was, when he was briefing everybody, he said, Wanda broke into the facility and stole Vision's body. He told everybody that she stole his body.
Yes.
And then we see the scene with her coming to S.W.O.R.D., meeting with him, and he's saying, you know, she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, we're dismantling it. It's the most powerful sentient weapon that's ever been created. We're dismantling it. It was his wish for it to be dismantled. And we can't let this weapon just run rampant. And she's like, no, I want to take him back and bury him. She's, well, you don't have, it's not yours, by the way, and it's $3 billion worth of
vibranium. We're not going to put it in the ground.
Not just going to bury that.
Yeah.
And so she gets angry and sees what they're doing to Vision's body. She flies down there and tries.
He's pretty accommodating, though. Like, he's.
Well, he wanted to see if he said, is that all you want? And she's like, what do you mean? And he says, well, not everybody has the power to bring their love back to life.
Well, he said back online.
Back online or back to life. Right. Yeah.
But he put that in her head.
He did. He was thinking maybe she could do that. Right. And she went down there and noticed that there was no sense of his mind or anything left. And she got all depressed and then just left.
She left.
So she never did take his body from there. Right. That was a big reveal to us because we assumed she brought the body back to Westview and that's what she reanimated.
Right.
But that's not the case.
No, we know how she created Vision now in the Hex, which is extremely interesting.
Right. Right after that, she leaves.
Yeah.
And where does she go?
Well, she goes to Westview.
Why?
Well, because he had bought a house there and he put, you know, to grow old in.
He bought a lot. He'd have bought a lot for them to build a house in Westview and they could just grow old together there. And this was before he died in Infinity War. And she wanted to go see it.
And my first reaction was that she just found that sitting in the front seat. But I think she brought it with her.
I think she's had it a long time.
She's had it a long time. Yeah. And she knew. And then she went to visit there. And that's when she loses it. She's sitting in the empty house or the empty lot of where the house should be. And that's where she loses it. And she just loses all control. And her magic just takes over.
Boom. Big, enormous explosion of red energy.
Yeah.
Creates a house, you know, builds it out of nothing. All of a sudden, then this wave of energy encompasses the whole town and turns it into 1950s Westview. And then we see her in the house still exploding with red energy. And then yellow energy is coming out of her body. And we see Vision being created from nothing.
Right.
A brand new Vision is now being created out of thin air by her.
Out of energy, or what it looked like was the creation of the Mind Stone coming out of her.
Potentially.
That she absorbed.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows? And so then we get kind of the opening scene from episode 1 of them together in their house in the 50s. He recognizes her right away. You know, Wanda, welcome home. They sit down and watch television.
They kiss. They have a passionate kiss. Right. And then that when they separate to watch TV, she's in full color behind them. I thought that was crazy.
Right. And then Agatha is sitting in the audience. You know, you see kind of a studio where the show would have been filmed. She's clapping and she, you know, her kind of sarcastical clap.
Bravo. That's right. All she says.
And then she snaps her fingers and disappears. Wanda hears the kids crying, runs outside, and Agatha's got them. She's floating up in the air. She's got them strung up. And she says, I know what you are. Now I finally know what you are.
You're a unicorn.
You are way too powerful, and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
And she says, this is hex magic. She calls it hex magic. Yeah. You have access to hex magic. You're the Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
And then the episode cuts out right
there.
That's
the first time you ever hear anybody mention the word or the name Scarlet Witch.
So what that tells me is Agatha knows what the Scarlet Witch is.
Yeah.
It's something that's been known about, that's been
a mythical...
A mythical creature or a nexus creature that right. everybody is aware of. The Scarlet Witch, the commander of hex magic, can create things out of thin air, can cast spells without even thinking about it. Right?
I thought that line was great that she said, and here you are making breakfast for dinner.
Yeah.
When you have this kind of power.
Yeah. You can create anything and you're making breakfast for dinner.
Yeah.
Right? That's what you're making. You're choosing to make with this power. Yeah. So it seems like Agatha's incredibly jealous of Wanda and her abilities. She wants them or wants access to them or wants to control them. She feels that Wanda's completely wasting this power and has no idea what she's doing, which is all true. She just wants to be happy. But then the episode ends after she had called her the Scarlet Witch. So again, now she has a name and we now know how she gets that nickname is from Agatha. And then we get a post-credit scene.
Yeah, that was great. That was awesome. I'm glad they're starting to do post-credit scenes. We've come to know and love them throughout the movies, and it was great. It was that little weasel, that little shady weasel Hayward, saying we're ready to launch. And I thought it was I had no idea. I thought it was a launch, an attack on the hex itself, but I guess launch was going to be they were going to put or bring online their sentient weapon that they lied about.
Yeah, so what did he say? So we've rebuilt, we've torn apart and rebuilt this thing thousands of times trying to get it back online.
And tried every power source under the sun.
And yep, tried every power source under the sun. And the only thing that will finally make it happen is power from the source, which is Wanda. So they still had that Stark Industries drone that they had flown in that she had zapped and brought out with her and threw at them was still, kindling with that red energy. And they siphoned that
hex magic. Yeah.
They siphoned the red energy off of that and fed it into what is the White Vision, from the comic books. And for those of you on YouTube can see, he was a character in the Avengers for many years as the White Vision. And so now they're bringing the White Vision online. So little history of the White Vision, which we'll see next episode. We assume the White Vision ends up getting into Westview somehow, some way. But Vision was dismantled / destroyed in a epic battle in the comic books. They brought the body back and Hank Pym had to rebuild it and was able to rebuild it. But it was now the white version of the Vision that we see, which is completely stark white. It had no memories. It had no emotion.
It was just a robot.
It was just a robot, completely a robot. Didn't know who anybody on the team was,
right.
Had no memory of anything, didn't recognize Wanda, had no emotion. It was completely a robot. And only after many years was that undone, right? So eventually we've talked about this before, the original Vision, when it came online,
had
Wonder Man, Simon Williams, brain patterns were embedded into Vision by Ultron in the hopes that, he could infiltrate the Avengers. And that's how that happened.
Yeah.
When Vision came back as the White Vision, Simon Williams, Wonder Man was back in the comic books. And they asked him, would you be willing to give your brain patterns to Vision again? And he said, no. He said, because I didn't give you permission to do it in the first place.
Yeah.
Right. And since you've done it, I feel like part of my soul's been missing. So I'm not going to let you do it. So later on,
he had a thing for Wanda.
Simon did. And and that's why he felt that Vision and Wanda had such a tight relationship, was because he liked Wanda as well. Right.
Yeah.
But later on, they put somebody else's brain patterns in Vision. So he gets some emotion. But then he starts to kind of recoup some of his old self over time. He starts to become back. The old Vision comes back. It just starts the patterns start reemerging in his head and he becomes the old version of him and his green costume comes back and everything else. So that's the way it happened in the books, but we'll see what they're doing with this one. I mean, all of us have always thought that Vision doesn't survive this, right? That we feel Vision is, there's no way he makes it out of the show WandaVision, that, since he was a construct inside of the hex. We saw what happened when he tried to leave the hex. So maybe he only exists in the hex because that's where he was created. So we're like, well, Vision's going to die, you know, and eventually Water's going to come to grips with his.
Well, now we have death. We have an alternative. We have
the white
somewhat
version.
Of a solution, the white version that could go anywhere, right? I mean, it can.
So maybe that's
this storyline could go anywhere.
Maybe that storyline does continue into the movies, that the white Vision that's being controlled by S.W.O.R.D. right now. And again, that white Vision does not have the Mind Stone in it. It has a crystal in its head, which is what the original Vision had in the comic books. It had a solar crystal, which was how it charged itself. And it was able to use that to expel energy as well. But we'll see what they do with the white Vision. Does it ultimately combat the control that S.W.O.R.D. has of him and eventually changes sides and then supports Wanda and helps them, you know, battle S.W.O.R.D. and whatever. And then it becomes part of the Avengers as the white Vision, just the mindless android that they now have to find a way to get its thought patterns back or whatever, right?
We'll yeah, see. Did they download anything when they were trying to remove the Mind Stone in Wakanda? I mean, did they have any of his consciousness downloaded in any of that technology that could bring back the Vision without the Mind Stone and all of his...
Well, again, we know that his personality in the movies was built on
Jarvis.
Tony Stark, Jarvis, mm-hmm. Tony Stark, Bruce Banner, and Ultron.
Yeah.
Those four kind of contributed to who he was.
In the MCU, right.
In the MCU. We don't know if or what happened to Jarvis. We feel like all of Jarvis was uploaded into Vision. So is any part of that still around anywhere that we could get? We know Tony's not around anymore.
Right.
Bruce Banner's still around, so we could get his brain pattern. So we'll see. Again, this is a great potential storyline, right?
Yeah.
You know, what happens in future Avengers movies?
Yeah, I think they're going to keep Paul around for a little bit. So
well, and
hopefully.
Again, what makes me think that is that, you know, he was very reluctant to say too much in these interviews he's been doing about who's coming on the show and what's happening because he's, I'm afraid I'll be fired.
Yeah.
Well, if your character's going to die in the show, why would you be afraid of being
fired,
right? So it makes me feel like he's still going to be continuing on in
some
way. I
hope so. Great character.
Yeah. All right. So great episode. Again, we're a little disappointed, but all it does is make us want the finale even more. And again, we're just hoping it's at least an hour and just answer all the questions, give us some big battle. And supposedly the finale does have more CGI in the finale, in the battle scene of the finale, than there was in Endgame, they said.
Wow.
More CGI in the finale battle of WandaVision than there was in the finale battle of Endgame.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because that whole thing was
amazing.
So that's crazy. That's going to be, and again, that just speaks of the production value that WandaVision has brought to television.
Right.
You know, I watched a little clip. I didn't watch the whole thing, and it did very well on the CW, by the way. Superman and Lois just launched on the CW.
Last week.
And the ratings were off the charts for that. Like one of the best ratings for the CW since The Flash premiered on there. And I just watched a little bit of it. And it was good from what I saw. But the production quality doesn't hold.
Not even close.
A light.
And here's what's funny about that. They invested way more money into the CGI of that show, the new Superman and Lois show, than they have in any other show. If you ever watched like The Flash or Arrow, especially the crossover events they had, they would have these big characters that with the CGI, it was really bad.
Just seconds of them though, not...
They've said that they've quadrupled that budget for this show because they want it to be successful. And even so, it pales in comparison to what we're seeing in WandaVision.
I agree.
Right?
I agree. So... speaks volumes to Marvel and what they put into the shows.
All right, well, let's jump into other news items from the week. So what do we got?
We got Spider-Man 3 finally revealed its title. So the title, regardless of what you've read on Twitter and all the misdirection, which drives me crazy. But
yeah, it was a pump fake for a day. We got a bunch of fake tweets about what the title could
Spider-Man
be.
Phone Home, that one really tweaked me.
Yeah.
But the final title is going to be Spider-Man No Way Home, and it's only going to be in theaters.
Right. Yeah, they did make that announcement that it's coming out Christmas, right? So that's the release date is Christmas.
Yeah.
And Marvel and Sony have committed that this will only be released in theaters. And so let's all hope, let's all pray that the world is in a place where we're able to be back in theaters full stop, you know, by the end of the year. But that's only going to be in theaters, which is, I mean, great. Great for you and me who would go there anyway, but...
And
know.
No Way Home kind of reveals that we're going to get the multiverse. We're going to get some... We've talked about this movie before. It's getting very crowded. I hope it's not clunky. I hope they're not bumping into each other. I also hope it's not just scenes of cameos here and there. I hope it has some substance. I know it will, because Spider-Man is a gem for both Sony and Marvel, and I know they're going to take it seriously and do it right. But
well, Tom Holland was on Jimmy Kimmel earlier this week. He did have another movie come out, Cherry, on, I believe it was on Apple TV Plus, and he was promoting that, but Jimmy can't help but ask him questions about Spider-Man.
Of course.
And he says, what about the rumors, you know, knowing that that Tom Holland always likes to spoil stuff. But he said, what about the rumors that we're going to see Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire? And he says, oh, he said, that I've read the whole script and I haven't seen them in there at all. He said, that would be really cool if they did. But I, you know, they, if they are going to be in there, they haven't told me yet. Yeah. So, you know, I think he's
Kids
playing
learning.
Coy a little bit. Yeah.
Kids learning.
He's playing coy a little bit, but at the same time, No Way Home does give us maybe a dual meaning. We know at the end of Far From Home, his identity was exposed by Mysterio. So now everybody, half the world believes that he's Spider-Man, and the other half doesn't believe that Peter Parker is. And so he can't go back to his house because it'll be inundated with press and people that just want to, you know, ask him questions. So he can't go home, right, because of that. And then the other theory is that, well, if the multiverse is part of this movie, maybe he gets stuck in some alternate universe somewhere that he can't get back home. And he has to find a way to get back home, right?
Yeah, I think Doctor Strange is going to be in that movie for sure. And, you know, whether No Way Home is, you know, in reference to him trying to help the Spider-Verse that's trapped in his world find their way home, or... Who knows?
But
I just hope it doesn't get clunky.
Well, we should be, as we talked about last week, we should be getting more teasers. We should get a teaser trailer at some point in time soon. We should be getting some idea of what the plot of the movie is about. I think, you know, again, this movie has been filming for, what, 3-4 months now. So they've been filming, they're in Atlanta filming still today. And the movie comes out in Christmas. So they're going to start promoting this thing, I think, in the next couple of months.
Where's my Eternals trailer? Where's that? Where's my Shang-Chi? Where's my Kung Fu trailer?
Yeah, I do You know, hopefully, as we get through Falcon and Winter Soldier and ultimately Loki, you know, we're going to be right. Once Loki releases, we got a release date of that too, right?
Yeah, that's a part of our news. Loki is going to start streaming on Disney Plus June 11th.
Right.
So that's great.
So right in between Falcon and Winter Soldier, we're going to get, and Loki, we're going to get Black Widow.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, we were told that the Eternals trailer was coming out with a Black Widow movie last year.
Mm-hmm.
So we know it's on the shelf. We know it's already been made. We know it's there. The movie's been done for over a year. It was supposed to come out last December.
What a great way to get people in the theaters, to give them the Black Widow and the promise of...
Trailers.
A trailer.
Because we got two movies coming out for Marvel this summer. We've got the... Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings coming out in July, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe. And then we have the Eternals coming out
in November.
Mm-hmm. So we've got two movies to promote. And when's
Spider-Man
the last
Christmas.
Time we've seen a meaningful movie trailer? I mean, it's...
Right. It's been a while.
Been a long time. So that would be really exciting.
WandaVision crashes Disney Plus.
Yeah. So last week...
And we kind of talked about this a little bit about internet rumors and leaks.
Yeah. So last week, for those of you... I've never done this, but the episode is released every Friday at 12 a.m. Pacific. So 12 a.m. Pacific time is when the show is released. And last week at 3 a.m. Eastern, when the show was released, everybody tried to get on Disney Plus at the same time and it crashed the server. So I never watch until, you know, Friday at some point in time anyway during the day. So it didn't bother me, but I heard it everybody tried to get on right at 3 a.m. and completely crashed it. So that this show, I heard something this week that this show is already more popular than Bridgerton was on Netflix, which was hugely popular. I mean,
is it?
Well,
I don't like. I'm sorry. Titanium doesn't like period pieces.
My wife would
pieces.
Tell you how popular it
well,
is.
Well, mine too, but I don't like period pieces. I don't like things that are done in that kind of Renaissance, Elizabethan time period, you know, the I'm just not a period piece kind of guy.
But that was an extremely popular show on Netflix.
Yeah.
You know, in the year of COVID, when there was nothing else to watch, I mean, that show just exploded.
Yeah.
And this WandaVision's already eclipsing that. And Disney Plus doesn't have nearly the subscriber base that Netflix has, not even close. And so that shows you that this is getting more views with a limited subscriber base than Bridgerton ever did.
Yeah,
right?
Their footprint is nowhere near what.
No, not yet, but it'll get there. Yeah, but as I said earlier, just be careful. There's a lot of stuff going around on the internet about, you know, leaks and stuff. Just be careful. You're going to either ruin your viewing experience, which is probably the worst thing that could happen, or you're going to be led astray and be disappointed when what you thought was going to happen doesn't.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people are really, they want to be right. A lot of people want to be the first one to release something that's going to happen. And so there's a lot of guessing going on. There's a lot of theories. And there's a lot of fan theories out there. And somebody says, oh, I've got an official leak. I saw this. And if they're right, they're a genius. If they're wrong, nobody's going to call them out on it. Yeah. Right.
Sometimes they rush to be first instead of right. And
right.
It's wrong.
Right.
And the media does that sometimes too. Yep. So
just be careful.
Yeah, absolutely. Titans season 3, they had a big reveal this week. And we kind of already knew it. But they really cool costume, Blackfyre. Which is Starfire's sister from her planet, has come to Earth to kind of put her down so she can rule her planet.
Because Starfire is the...
Second in line, right?
She is in line to rule her home planet, and Starfire wants that throne herself.
Blackfyre wants the throne.
Blackfyre wants the throne herself, and so she's come to Earth to take it from her sister.
Did you see the costume? I sent it to you.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I texted you.
Yeah,
very cool.
Very cool.
And, can I say something about that costume?
Yes.
Smoke show. I mean, she is an absolute smoke show.
Yeah, that
she is.
There's a lot of smoke shows on that show.
She is hot.
That Titan show's got some smoke shows on it. Because
Wonder Girl.
Oh, she's a smoke
hello.
Show. Yeah,
smoke show. But Blackfyre, man.
Yeah, so we...
I think she's hotter than
Starfire. I'm glad you got to watch those, because, you know, before they were released on HBO Max, you didn't have access to see those seasons, and you finally got to watch the first two seasons, and you liked it, right?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
You were talking to me when we would geek out at parties, or when we would get together, we'd geek out for probably 2 hours, and we try to keep these podcasts under an hour, but we would geek out on our own. That's why I've said we got to do a podcast because we talk about this stuff anyway. Let's just put it on tape and share it, because we talk about some really cool stuff. And you were saying you got to watch Titans. I'm like, man, I don't have it. I'll find it. I'll get it sometime. And then once it was on HBO Max, I watched the whole thing. Like, I binge watched the whole
both
thing.
Seasons.
Both seasons. Yeah. It was great.
It's great. And it's really well done, really well written.
The effects are great. The CGI was great.
The characters are great. I think the casting was great. You know, having characters like Wonder Girl.
Well, we actually, when we first discussed it, we were a little upset with the
casting of Starfire.
Not just Starfire, but Beast Boy. I think it was a little off. I don't think they really do that character justice. Even to today, I don't think they do that character justice the way they should. But all of them, Robin, I mean, just I think it's great.
It's really well. And so we're looking forward to season 3. And so they're now starting the kind of teaser season for that. So hopefully we'll get some news about when that's coming out. And that should be on HBO Max, which will be great.
Yep. You want to get into
our topic of the week this week?
The topic of the week?
Yeah, so we're just going to talk briefly about Warner Brothers' decision this year in our topic of the week to release every movie on their slate direct to home. So this was a huge deal, right? So we've been wanting... We saw Disney do this earlier last year as a test case with Mulan. They tried to release it to Disney Plus with this special premiere access where you can pay $20 to rent it.
I think it worked pretty well for Disney Plus, didn't it?
But yeah, that did okay. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it again here next month with the Maya and the Last Dragon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Raya. Is it Raya and the Last Dragon?
Raya, yeah.
So they're doing
R-A-Y-A.
That again.
Right.
Right. So they're doing it again. So, but we've been harping on Disney to say, just release your stuff direct to home.
Yeah.
I mean, Black Widow's been delayed over a year. You know, it's going to be a year. Just give it to us. So we're hoping that happens. But Warner Brothers didn't make that mistake. They said, you know what? screw it. We don't know when or if theater's going to reopen. We're just going to release everything straight to home. And we've gotten a couple movies already from them. We got, obviously, Wonder Woman 84 we saw back around Christmas. So that was their first release. And then we got Little Things, right, which was a movie with Denzel Washington and Rami Malek. That came out. So we're getting all this whole entire slate of movies from Warner Brothers coming through HBO Max this year direct to home. And they're like, we'll release them in theaters. You don't have to go see them there because you can see them at home. But when theaters reopen, we're going to release them there too. But this year, we're just not betting on the theater business.
What are you going to do? Suicide Squad theater, or are you going to sit at home?
By then, I'll be in a theater.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, love it. Again, if I have a choice of seeing
what am
a
I talking
movie
about?
Like
I'll be
that,
sitting next to you.
Right. But I mean, if I have a choice of seeing a movie like that in the theaters or at home, I'm going to want to see that in the theaters, of course. You know? And so
I really want to see Eternals in a theater.
Right. So Suicide Squad's what, August, right? Yeah. Is that the release date? August 6th, right? So by the time Suicide Squad comes out, yes, I mean, I'm hoping.
We should be in theaters.
You know, most of us are vaccinated by then. So we'll be in a theater. But
Titanium's good, trust me.
Right. Well, we went and saw New Mutants in the theaters last year.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we're going to do that. Yeah. So
awesome.
But not many other comic movies coming out from Warner Brothers this year. There's a lot in development. There's a lot yet to be start filming. I think they've been on kind of a big hiatus and a big delay. The next big thing we're getting from them on HBO Max is the Snyder Cut, which is coming out next month as well, March 18th. Right?
March 18th, Snyder Cut, 4 hours.
Yep, so we'll get that. But, I mean, I think it's just a huge decision on their part. Again, there's some big blockbuster movies. I mean, we're getting, you know, Kong versus Godzilla. We're getting, you know, the next Matrix movie.
Dune
is coming. You know, these are huge movies that they invested millions of dollars in.
Yeah.
And we're hoping to get big releases in the theaters. And like, you know what? We're happy to give them to our customers and our subscriber base. So
very cool. Speaking of the Snyder Cut, let's get into our question. We actually have a question, listener question of the week. And that listener question of the week comes from Emma. Emma at 706-4135. Emma's question is, and thank you, Emma, for sending us a question on Twitter. We really appreciate it. Anybody out there that has any questions or call us out on something or want to know something, the professor's knowledge is limitless. So just go ahead and ask. But Emma's got a great question. Who would win in a fight, Thanos or Darkseid? Great question.
All right, so we got to put some caveats behind the question.
Okay, let's go.
Are we talking about Thanos
with the gauntlet?
With the Infinity Gauntlet or without the Infinity Gauntlet? Are we talking about Darkseid with the Omega Force or without the Omega Force?
Okay, let's pick it.
Right. So
either way, I think Darkseid wins. Either way,
no
even with that.
Way.
Yeah, either way.
You're insane.
No, either way,
with
I think Darkseid
gauntlet?
Wins. Yes, absolutely.
Thanos wiped out half the known universe with the Infinity
with
Gauntlet.
With one snap.
With one snap.
Okay.
Of the Infinity Gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
He could wipe out Darkseid with a snap of his finger.
No, I don't think so.
He did it to half the universe.
He has control of reality. What? There's a great video on YouTube done by Death Battles. It's a YouTube channel called Death Battles, and they did this insane breakdown of their powers, each of their powers, and they showed clips, and they showed clips from the comics and everything, and then they did this cartoon version of the battle. It was really cool, and I kind of believed what they said. Now, there's already been a debunk video done on their battle. But from what they broke down in the comics, and they looked at the whole history of Darkseid and his abilities and his powers.
One of the new gods, by the way.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Well, hopefully we're going to learn a little bit more about
Darkseid. My money's on Darkseid.
Well, so hopefully we're going to learn a little bit more about Darkseid in the Snyder Cut. I believe we see both versions of him. The version of him before he got the Omega Force, which is something that he ended up getting imbued with that gave him all of his real power.
Right.
And then we see the version of him after that as well. So Darkseid and Superman, if they were fighting and they fought several times, you know, head to head, they usually kind of fight to a standstill. And Superman's been able to get the best of him with some help at some point in time. But Thanos beat up the Hulk.
Yeah.
Okay, so he didn't have the full Infinity Gauntlet. Didn't even use it for that fight. Just completely was able to just trash him. Yeah. The Hulk. So the Hulk is one of the strongest beings in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, if not the Marvel Universe, right? I mean, especially if he's really angry, he's pretty strong. So he beat the Hulk to submission. So, I mean, that was an embarrassed him, which is why he would never become the Hulk again. Yeah. In Infinity Gauntlet. But so he's incredibly strong, and so is Darkseid. So I think, again, without any other powers, I think the advantage that Darkseid has with the Omega Force is he's got beams that come out of his eyes just like Superman does, but yeah, he has the ability to kind of direct them. So yeah, he doesn't have to shoot straight at somebody. They kind of go, they zigzag, and they get to where they want to go just based on him thinking about it, which is...
teleport himself anywhere.
Well, but that's with boom tubes. That's yeah, not him teleporting himself. He uses a technology to do that.
I'm just saying my money's on Darkseid.
I'm just saying with the Infinity Gauntlet, I think Thanos wins that one pretty easily.
Okay.
Yeah. So
let's agree to disagree.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and again, we'll hopefully learn a little bit more about Darkseid in the Snyder Cut. So maybe we'll get a little bit more insight into that.
But excellent. Thank you, Emma,
for the question.
Great question. And Professor, the school bell has rung.
All right. You want to call it a show?
I think we call it a show.
Right. Well, that's it for us this week. We'll be back next week for more Super Talk. To get in touch with us on social media, hit us up via email at supertalkpodcast@outlook.com. Or at Super Talk Pod on Twitter. Until then, stay super, everyone.